This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 22nd of September 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. Today, Laura Snapes, senior editor at the Pitchfork Review, joins me in the studio for our weekly music review. On our playlist, three new albums: Honeymoon by American songstress Lana Del Rey, Every Open Eye by electro poppers Churches, and experimental rockers Battle's latest La Di Da Di. That's all coming up on the Monocle Arts Review. Do stay tuned. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Before we start with those three songs, you more or less recently back from Brisbane, where you went to Big Sound.
Yes, it was great. It was kind of like a mini Australian South by Southwest. Just bands from Australia, maybe a couple of New Zealand as well, all taking place in about a half square mile, so which made it very easy if there was a Duff band to just run to the next venue and see something else.
Not obviously that Australians, or to a lesser extent New Zealanders, are capable of forming Duff bands. But I like the idea of this because I'm ancient enough to remember the late 80s when Australia and certainly New Zealand had a very discreet and distinctive sort of alternative rock and roll subculture identity, isolated as we were by all those miles of ocean and the fact nobody had invented the internet yet. Did it strike you, sort of arriving from outside, like there was anything distinctive or distinguishing about Antipode and rock and roll now?
There wasn't one distinct thing. Maybe you're referring to things like the birthday party. Like I didn't notice like a broad overarching sound. But the nice thing about being in Brisbane for a few days around the festival was spotting who was friends with who was label mates, who was showing up to each other's showcases. So I think some of my favourite were like a Melbourne cohort. My favourite band among that lot were called Jala, which is, I think that's how you say it. They're fronted by a woman called Kazima Jala, and she also fronts a band called Mangelwurzel. But Jala sounded a bit like if Amy Winehouse had recorded for Thrill Jockey. It was really fantastic.
Okay, that sounds really good. How do you spell their name again so people can look that up?
J-A-A-L-A. They have demos on SoundCloud, and there's a debut album out next month.
Okay, well, perhaps we will discuss them on some future Monocle Arts Review. Today, we should move along to your first selection, which is Churches. This is from their second album, Every Open Eye. I will confess at this point to something of an irrational objection to Churches, because along with my bugbear about self-titled albums, which has just always annoyed me, irrelevant punctuation and spellings in band names always puts me off. And of course, Churches have a V instead of a U.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is such a cliche by this point, but it's just so that it's easier to Google them. I assume they may regret it at some point in the future.
Yeah, you could just give yourself a less Googleable name, I guess. But yeah, what was it that attracted you to this?
Well, I was quite late coming to their first album. They released a lot of singles before the album came out, and none of them ever really took my fancy. But then gradually, I kind of became obsessed by it. And the first album has got quite a kind of airy atmosphere to it. But on this second one, I mean, it's very much a sister record to the first one, but they've really sharpened it up. They've taken out a lot of the kind of more atmospheric bits, and it's punchy all the way through. This song has got kind of the biggest explosion on the whole album. Granted, it does sound a lot like Just Can't Get Enough, but, you know, that's a good thing.
The album, which is not self-titled, is called Every Open Eye, and this is Clearest Blue.
Not enough, not enough, not enough.
You were not kidding about the resemblance to Just Can't Get Enough there, were you?
Very much so. It sounds as though they somehow managed to engineer an arcade so that they could run around smashing all the buttons and somehow that song would come out of the machines.
Hopefully Depeche Mode will regard that as an homage rather than anything more sinister. I quite like that. I like that more than I expected to, in that their first album, as we were just discussing while it was playing, was one of those records that I listened to and thought, this is quite good and everything and I wish them well with it, but I don't really care if I ever actually hear it again.
Yeah, I think they've definitely developed their musical personalities a little more here. Like, all of the edges are a little sharper. And in terms of the lyrics that Lauren Mabry is singing, I think they've got a lot more kind of personality and a lot more of a strident quality to them, which there's a lot of lines from it that, you know, might make a nice tattoo or cross stitch on Etsy. Like, I'm chasing the skyline.
And you know they will.
Of course. any savvy fan will be getting on that. But yeah, lines like, I'm chasing the skyline much more than you ever will. She seems to have adopted this position of like self-assurance and defiance, which is very winning.
I can see that on a JPEG of a sunset already. That's Every Open Eye by Churches. The album is out this Friday. This is the 25th of September on Glassnote Records. We'll move along now to Lana Del Rey. Has she just made another Lana Del Rey record? Is this Lana Del Rey making that record she makes?
It is. It's Lana Del Rey making the best version of Lana Del Rey yet. I think, you know, very early on, people kind of disregarded her as a dilettante, kind of, you know, Tumblr incarnate, just who's managed to pull together all of these interesting signifiers into one thing. And a few very good songs. I do really like that first album. But I think consistently she's been weighed down by the external baggage that she's brought along with her, whether it's been like, I'm the gangster Nancy Sinatra, or all of the imagery she adopted kind of post-first album, pre-second album, where she was kind of messing around a bit badly with like Native American headdresses and gangsters in the desert and things. This album, I think, is a lot more stripped back. Like, the energy level on it is very low, and she almost affects this like boredom throughout it, which is very infectious, I think. And yeah, the arrangements, there's just much less going on, and you really start to see, like, in the lyrics, she's kind of defined herself a lot more. She's not needy and she's not kind of affecting danger for the sake of it. I think there's some, real is a very loaded word to use when you're talking about any artist, let alone Lana Del Rey, but I think there's something a bit more, you're getting kind of closer to the essence of what she is on this album.
See, on that note, the reason that I'm pleased that Lana Del Rey is sticking to her guns and releasing her album again was that it's always incredibly fatuous when people get up in arms about the authenticity of a pop star, but for some reason, every thundering bore in the world seemed to be attracted out of the woodwork by Lana Del Rey. You've got this incredible spectacle of actual grown adults getting upset that a pop star was operating under a name that wasn't on their birth certificate. And may have, you know, contrived their image and voice in order to suit a certain thing they were attempting to project. It was absolutely extraordinary.
Meanwhile, they lovingly caressed the exotic box set they bought from Third Man Records, produced by Jack White, formerly known as John Anthony Gillis, who took his wife's name. I think the thing with Lana Del Rey is, like you're saying, she's a pop star. When she very first appeared with Video Games, she wasn't presented as a pop star. That song came up through blogs, and everyone's like, ooh, who's this, like, very edgy, very well put together, cultivated young woman? And then in one single time, it appears that she's been in a development deal with a major label for ages, and I think a lot of people felt duped that she wasn't quite as, you know, for real as they thought she might be.
On which note, I also think she deserves considerable kudos for calling the new album Honeymoon. I think she's having a little bit of a chuckle there. This is a track from the album. This is Freak.
Yeah.
That is Freak by Lana Del Rey from her new album Honeymoon, which is out now on Polydor. Do you get the sense, and this is possibly committing that dreadful critic's error of reading more into a song than the composer might have written into it, but in laying on the Come to California and Be a Freak stuff with a trowel, as she is doing there, is she winding up those sort of authenticity bores just a little bit? It would be pleasant to think so.
Maybe there's a little bit of that in there, but I think early on when she was singing about California, you know, I think in the video for Video Games, there's images of like Disneyland and things like that. I think now the California that she's singing about is genuinely the kind of weird, reclusive world that she sings in. Like in this song, she sings about if you come out there to be with her, you have to give up all your anonymity. And the video for one of the other songs on this record has her like shooting down a paparazzi in a helicopter with a massive machine gun. But I think she's one of the biggest pop stars in the world, but nobody really knows that much about her. She has managed to kind of isolate and seclude herself in this weird California world, which, I don't know, there's something very exotic and kind of stony-faced and a bit Joan Didion about it, which I think is nice.
Okay, well, finally, we are going to move on to something slightly more experimental. This is Battles. It's from their new album, Lardy Dardy, which I'm sure I'm emphasising one of those syllables incorrectly.
I meant to sing it Sound of Music style.
Yeah, that's not going to happen because I want people to keep listening to us. Introduce, if you would, Battles for us.
Well, Battles were at one point a four-piece with Ian Williams, John Stanier, Ian Konopka, and they were fronted by Tiondi Braxton. And across the first couple of EPs and their debut album, Mirrored, Tiondi sang in this very kind of affected, accentuated, kind of very cartoonish voice where you couldn't often hear what he was saying. And sometimes you'd think, is he really singing Dinglehopper, because that's really what it sounds like. But they created this, like, the music that was going on behind it was incredibly complex and knotty, but somehow incredibly compelling. And then with his voice on the top, it was really, I think, unlike anything that really anybody had really heard before. Then they had a huge bust up after a few years while they were trying to make their second album. Tiondi left, and so they were left in a position where I think they started the second album, Gloss Drop, all over again. But to replace Tiondi, they invited in a lot of guest vocalists, like the lady from Blonde Redhead and Gary Newman, and a few more people were on it as well.
Okay, well, the single that we're going to play is called The Yabba. Is this another one from the Dinglehopper School of Lyric Writing?
No, so on their third album, there's actually no lyrics on it. There's no lyrics and there are no vocalists. What's interesting with this is that they've maintained the complexity of their previous albums, but they're doing a lot more with kind of the melodic top line. I think that is where the voice, so to speak, and the humour of it's coming through now. The Yabba is the single from the record. It kind of it's one of these songs that builds and builds and builds and never really goes anywhere. There are other songs on the album that are covered in like brightly coloured Keith Haring style squiggles, but there's a lot of nice tension in this song, which is why I picked it.
Okay, this is The Yabba by Battles. That was The Yabba by Battles from their new album, Lardy Dardy, which is out now on Warp Records. It had something of the Daft Punks about it, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of electronic music influence in what's going on with Battles, even if their music isn't kind of rafted with different kinds of synthesizers. I think they very much belong on the Warp label as label mates of people like Aphex Twin and Squarepusher, and that they do have their own maximalist, weird, knotty language. You can tell it's them immediately.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of today's show, Laura Snapes. Thank you very much for joining me. You have been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again tomorrow for our theatre review with Matt Wolfe. But for now, thanks very much for listening.